Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Conservative Nation Media has been around for 11 years now to give you the news that is fit to know about the state of America and what the politicians in Washington and around our nation are doing to our freedoms. We have strived to give you the true news that you cannot find in the lamestream lying liberal media, and because of our love for this great nation, we are growing again. With new shows on CNN like American Statesman with Sally Baptiste and Crazy Nation Radio with Ron Reck, we are getting well-known names to join our network to make CNN a stronger voice for America. We have others who may be joining us too. American Statesman airs on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and Crazy Nation Radio airs mostly on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, with other times of the week when he feels the need is there. Join Conservative Nation Media for all of our shows on Friday, Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday with our Sunday show, American by Design, returning too. That's Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he can't.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said, if we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. You're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
And we're in. I know I gotta update that because since Lorianne's been co-host here, that entrance doesn't even acknowledge her, but I try to. Hello, Lorianne. How are you tonight?
Hello. Well, that's all right. You know, it still works. I'm doing all right. I'm a little bit tired. I gotta perk up a little bit. I might make a second cup of coffee or something. I don't know. I think it's just like the drizzly rain and everything, you know, typical Oregon drizzly, gloomy. Yeah. we got a little break from it yesterday, but, you know.
They were talking about how daylight savings time was coming to an end, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm sure it ended here about 2 weeks ago, but apparently it didn't. But I think we had an absolutely gorgeous day today here. It was 70 degrees and sun was shining. It was just beautiful. Tomorrow's supposed to be 73 and the day after is supposed to be 73. So we got a couple of good days coming before the next storm comes in. So
nice. Yeah, 73 is like perfect.
Yeah.
So yeah, enjoy it while you can. And yeah, daylight savings, you know, Oregon, what was it, 4 years ago, I think, maybe even longer. I don't even remember anymore, but we voted to stay on daylight savings and not fall back. And but that hasn't happened yet. So we're still going to have to do the whole, you know, fall back.
Yeah, I was listening to, my wife, when she gets up in the morning, she has her alarm come on as a radio on Family Life Radio. And they had some caller come in this morning was talking about that. And he said what they should do is just add a half an hour to every to it and just leave it that way all year round. So they got people thinking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, whatever works. You know, I like, you know, I like staying on daylight savings, you know, more northern latitude. I like having more evening.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, most Oregonians agreed. That's why we decided, yeah, we'll just stay on daylight savings. Because, you know, it's nice to still have more daylight, you know, after you get off of work and that kind of thing. And so, you know, and then of course during summer you have more daylight to go to the beach and, you know, stuff like that and catch the sunset, stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, but whatever works, you know, it's just, I don't see why it has to be such an ordeal to go, hey, you know, this is going to be our time from now on, you know. I don't see what the holdup is. I don't understand why, you know, the federal government has to approve it or something. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. They have to approve everything, I think. At least they think they do anyway. But I was looking at several articles this afternoon, and one of them was from Western Journal that talks about New York City Mayor Adams under federal investigation after top fundraiser's house is raided by the FBI, and I thought that was pretty cool. And then that whole thing with our governor here in this stupid state, she has now, that remember we talked a couple week or so ago about her going after that assault on the Second Amendment again. Well, she's doing it again. She's renewing her efforts on it. So somebody needs to just shoot her between the eyes or something. I don't know. She's just completely...
Well, that's a little drastic. But
that is.
It's a little drastic, but
they need
at least
to
throw her in the slammer, you know.
Yeah, or
throw her in the slammer
actually,
and make sure
actually,
she can never...
The way I should have put it was shoot her between the eyes with a bunch of ballots to go against her.
There you go. There you go. That's better.
But she's trying to renew her executive orders declaring so-called gun violence as a public health emergency. And she's doing it again. And what she did this time, it was supposed to end yesterday. And what she did was she renewed it so it doesn't end until December 1st. And she's just going to keep going and doing this. And when December 1st comes around, she'll make it January 1st. And then when January 1st comes around, she'll make it February 1st. And until somebody comes along and says, now cut this crap out, stop acting like a baby and act like the person you're supposed to be in office for. But she won't.
No, of course not. You know, and we saw this coming, too, because, you know, we saw it coming with COVID.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I remember even talking, you know, with some people on my show being like, you know, if they can do this because of, you know, a virus, if they can implement mask mandates and social distancing and do all these things, forever and ever, you know, it's only a matter of time before they use the same apparatus when it comes to, you know, responding after a mass shooting or, you know, something, you know, they're going to come after, suspend the Second Amendment using the same apparatus. And so now here we are, you know, your governor doing that very thing. And, you know, all eyes are watching it, too. You know, the other governors are kind of going, okay, let's see how this goes. You know, and if she gets by with it, then damn sure other governors are going to start doing the same thing. You know, I can see,
absolutely.
You know, our maxi pad governor here, Kotek, doing the same thing, you know, after, you know, because of all the gun violence in Portland and, you know, it's a healthcare emergency. Well, maybe the healthcare emergency is the fact that you legalize, you know, basically decriminalized any and all drugs, and they're doing it all in the streets, and you've made nobody wants to work in the Portland Police Department, so a reduction in law enforcement. You know, maybe that's the true emergency. It isn't the fact that people are using guns, you know, in crimes. That's not really the true issue. The true issue is you created the environment to make it so that, you know, it's much more prevalent than it would have been. And, you know, if they would have done it right now, I'm libertarian, you know, so, you know, I think, you know, me being libertarian, this war on drug thing, you know, it's never worked. How long have we had this war on drugs? And
I think it
really
hasn't
curtailed much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It hasn't really curtailed much of anything. If anything, it's gotten worse. You know, and I've said it before, you know, Oregon just did it wrong. You know, they took money out of the legal marijuana fund and away from the towns and stuff that came to rely on those funds and allocated it to open up more drug treatment centers and things, because that's the choice. You know, if you get, you know, caught possessing cocaine or, you know, whatever, or heroin or whatever, then you get a choice of paying $100 fine, kind of like a parking ticket, or you can, you know, go in and get evaluated and get drug treatment and and have it be paid for. Well, the thing is, you know, Oregon's been collecting all that money, but they haven't actually been spending it on those resources, you know, on those treatment programs and stuff. They haven't hardly spent a penny opening up, you know, more facilities and stuff like that. So they're more than happy to take the money, but, you know, that's just how Oregon operates. So they'll suck in all the money, and then they just sit on it, and then they wonder why everybody wants to repeal Measure 110, which is what started the whole thing to begin with.
Yeah.
And then the question is once they repeal it, you know, there is an effort. So once it gets repealed, then what? You know, what happens to that money? What happens to those millions and millions and millions of dollars that they've collected that were supposed to go for all these treatment centers? What happens to that money? You know, and then we still end up with the same problem. You know, decriminalization, the way they did it, you know, it's not going to do anything to get people that are addicted to drugs of various kinds off the street. You know, it's not going to do anything to stop them from hanging out in front of the, you know, few shops that are still open in downtown Portland, you know, and doing it right in front of their front doors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just so corrupt. So very, very corrupt. And so, but
well,
going back to, you know, the gun control thing.
There was one thing that I went and found this last Thursday, or yesterday, actually. I did an update on which I usually do my daily updates. I found one that actually shows just how bad the policies of the left is. And the article was in a place called News Sloth. And it says, "So the headline was, so much for naming a building after Nancy Pelosi." And it says here, "I'm sure you know by now that most leftist-run cities in the United States are falling into severe disrepair due to policies that have essentially let crime and hatred overtake the streets. For example, Nancy Pelosi's hometown of San Francisco is so bad now that calls are being made to shut down the federal building named after her because the area is so dangerous. And the problem with that is they're not coming from just San Francisco. They're coming from all over the United States." It says, as the New York Post recently reported, the area in which the speaker, Nancy Pelosi Federal Building, is located has become a haven of sorts for drug users, dealers, crime, and homelessness in recent years. It's so bad, in fact, that even lawmakers from other states are now getting involved and calling for the building to be officially shut down. And Republican and Iowan Senator Joni Ernst is one such individual. You know, when you got policies that cause that much trouble that people from other states are calling for a building to be shut down because it's so dangerous, that's bad.
I know. Why should somebody, you know, be honored like that? Why should a building, a federal building, be named after somebody who has spent decades undermining America from day one and hoping to create the very problems that we're seeing now? You know, why should that person be honored?
Yep.
No way.
And I've got 225 in there. He raised his hand.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
This is Mike. You know, yeah.
Hey, Mike.
You're right.
Mike,
these people will name buildings after themselves. And how many? Go back to Robert KKK Byrd in, I believe, West Virginia, whatever it is. I mean, he's another one that has a ton of things that are named after him and in that particular city. And that in particular city has falling into disrepair, you know, and it's all these cities. It's, you know, that city is Chicago, it's New York, it's San Francisco, it's LA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Houston, Dallas, you know, Miami, you know, all these big Democrat run cities that everything's going to shit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, what did Trump want to say about these shithole countries? You know, well, we're looking at shithole cities.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't say anything about them. But whatever You know, if we've got a statue out there that commemorates some Civil War hero, let's tear that down because it's not relevant to today.
Not only tear it down.
Oh, yeah, and make sure
it
to take out, you know, why don't we have world peace after removing, you know, Aunt Jemima for, you know, the photo of Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima,
why don't we have world
Uncle
peace
Ben.
After removing Uncle Ben? Why don't we have world peace after removing the Indian lady off of Land O'Lakes? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that actually kind of made me mad because I love Aunt Jemima.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on, you know, the Washington Redskins, the Cleveland Indians, the, you know, all these sports teams that have changed their mascot because, oh, they're insulting to, you know, Native Americans or whatever the hell they call themselves,
you
know. You
know, and the,
it's like,
the funny part about that was that the Redskins actually, the name of that came from an Indian. It was an Indian who drew the design that they had on their helmet, and it was an Indian that that didn't seem to matter.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, the Atlanta Braves are still the Atlanta Braves, which you got to give it to them. The Florida State Seminoles are still the Florida State Seminoles.
Yep.
Right? So, you know, it is what it is with those things. It's, I don't know, politically correct crap, you know, needs to go away. That stuff needs to go away, and the cancel culture stuff needs to go away. Which, by the way, the conservatives and libertarians are not caring whether or not they get canceled or not. So now we're starting to see, you know, the liberals eating their own on this thing.
Yeah.
Trying to cancel each other out, you know.
Yeah, and I'm enjoying watching that.
Well, it gives everybody a boost.
Way,
it's like, ooh, we're being canceled. The left is canceling us. Hey, now we're going to see our ratings, like, you know, go through the roof. thank you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All
eyes
are on us. Hey, great. But
oh,
then you get,
way,
like, Victoria's Secret that went woke, and they're having to go back. They're going back to actual sexy again. That backfired on them. You know?
Yeah,
and it's making a bunch of the liberals mad over that one. So I just brought in 907.
Hey, gang.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I mean, here's the thing I don't understand. The libs and the Dems are all going out naming buildings and bridges and all sorts of crap after themselves and shit like that. But yet, okay, they have been going around tearing down statues and markers and everything else of Democrats. I just don't understand it.
Yep. It's insane, to say the least.
Well, yeah, and then, okay, they name federal buildings after Pete themselves, but when that whole situation was happening in Portland with that federal courthouse, oh, let them tear that courthouse down.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had the CHOP center downtown for them to take over everything.
Seattle.
I used to live in Portland, and it was a beautiful city at one point in time.
Yeah, it used to be. You know, when I first moved out
dangerous.
Here,
yeah, it's
what,
dangerous.
Like 28 years ago.
It's dangerous to go there. If you want to go to a basketball game, it's dangerous to go there because, you know, if you want to go to, you know, the Trailgate, the Trailblazers, you know, that basketball team, if you want to go to their games, it's dangerous for you to go there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. You know, I mean, that's why people stay away from there. Businesses are, you look at these, and you look at these liberal cities, and businesses are closing down and moving away and, you know, and all that stuff. The economy, as bad as it is on a nationwide basis, these liberal cities, it's even worse because of the crime and everything else that's happening there, that the businesses, even though we may want to keep our stores open, it's dangerous for us to do this because there could be murders and people are stealing stuff and we can't make money, you know? And that's the thing. That's what happens when you go with defund the police.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with these Soros, you know, DAs and all this shit where, we're not gonna prosecute crime. You know, or you can steal up to $1,000 or $1,200 or whatever it is, as long as you don't go over $1,200, you know.
Yeah, I was kind of raised where if you stole something, no matter what it was, it's still wrong. Now they're coming up with this idea that, well, you can steal up to $1,200. That's perfectly fine. And they come up with this random number, and these thieves know, well, if I steal $1,200, that's fine. Well, what if I went to 13? Maybe I can get away with that too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but you know that there is a good thing about that.
Okay.
There is some good things about that. That forces all of the low rent criminals and stuff to get an education in how to use their calculator on their phones.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Teaching them something. Hey, they're learning math by stealing. How cool is that?
What's the quote from Batman?
I know, I'm pretty broke. I'm wondering if I should just go over to Walmart and, you know, do a weekly trip of stealing $1,000 worth of shit.
If you do that, you go to different ones.
Well, that's easy at Walmart, you know, in the self-checkout lanes.
Well, they've gotten rid of those here.
Checkout lanes?
Yep. They don't have them anymore. They got rid of them all.
Where you is?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So they put checkers back in?
They put checkers back in. Now they're trying to hire so that they can man these things.
Well, that's good. We'll see how that works with their their losses from people.
Yeah.
Not scanning shit. I bet you that improves that bottom line.
It probably will. You know, they've already closed a couple of Walmarts here in town because of people stealing things. And one of them was a big one down by Central, down by my old high school. They closed that one about a month or so ago because of thefts. But the ones that I go to up here by my house, there's two of them, and both of them have gotten rid of their self-serve checkout. So they got rid of all of that, and it's all now just a whole great big line of cash registers. Most of them are empty because people here don't want to work because the government of the state of New Mexico actually paid for them to stay home for such a long time. And now they think, well, we can still do that, so let's don't work.
Yeah.
So
go work at home.
It's insane.
Insanity abounds.
Yeah. And no matter what, their policies, you know, it keeps getting them in trouble, but they keep blaming the Republicans and Trump for their troubles. So one of these days, maybe they'll wise up and think, hey, maybe it's our policies that's causing all this stuff.
Well, no. That'll never happen.
They have to blame Trump for forcing them to do those policies because Trump refused to.
Yeah. It's kind of like
the way, Robert, the way that works is that the liberal politician X, you know, comes in and starts to do the liberal politics and liberal policies. They fail. Oh, this person's failing, so we're going to turn against them, and then we're going to put another liberal politician in, you know, and do the same policies, even though the policies have failed with the first politician. So that is, oh no, they'll keep doing the same policies. No, and the policies will keep failing. If the first guy doesn't get it done, he's a failure. The next guy's gonna do better.
Yep,
that's the way it works.
That's the way they look at it. They figure that, you know, the policy only failed because the person we had in office was not the right person, but we got the right person now.
Yep.
It's kind of like Hillary Clinton once said, well, the reason why socialism has never worked is because we didn't try it hard enough.
Well, this is the same one that said, what difference at this point does it make, and all this other stuff where, you know, no. About disagreeing with the, what's the quote? If you debate and disagree with this administration, you're this, that, and the other, that's another thing. It's okay for them to question elections, but when somebody like Trump or us questions the election, you can't do that.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. No, that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know?
They want it on both sides. You know, they want to run on both sides of the story. You know, and depending on which way works for them. You know, it's like when Trump was in office, it was all Trump's fault. It was the Republicans who voted for him, and they had nothing to do with it. But when they're in charge and things are going wrong, it's all Trump's fault. It's all the people who voted against them before they got into power. And it's
right. And that's the thing. And you look at it, that people say, well, there's a double standard. No, there's one standard. There's a standard for them, and a standard for the elite, and a standard for the rest of us.
Yep.
You know, we can question the elections, but you cannot. We can do this and you cannot. We can use the deep state to go after people, thus changing the rules about going after, you know, our political enemies, but you cannot, you can't even agree with a crowd of people saying, lock her up, when they're not for the other person, right? That's what happened. I mean, that actually happened at that one rally with Trump, you know, when they were talking about Hillary, lock her up. Well, you know.
Yep.
And look at what they're trying to do with Trump. That's the rules. That's the new rule.
That's the new rules,
I look at it like this. If one side's gonna set the rules and the other side doesn't follow the rules, then that one side that's not following the rules, hey, you get what you deserve, right?
Right.
If one side sets the rules and the other side follows the rules, then that's fair, you know? So let's just say for the sake of argument that the rules have been set, using the government to go after your political enemies, making sure that they cannot get lawyers to defend themselves, going after the lawyers as well, all the stuff that they're doing with Trump, and Trump gets back in there. If Trump doesn't follow those rules, he's stupid.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
I mean, it may be totalitarian to say that, but again, that's just the way things are.
Yep, and if the people want to start blaming, you know, the politicians about this, well, we're the ones who allowed this. We didn't, like, when we had questions about Trump being in office or Trump losing to Biden. And there was, you know, like they kept coming up with this proof about what was going on. Nobody would do anything about it. And that's where the problem has come in. Nobody has done anything to correct what's going wrong.
They kept saying Trump lost a bunch of court cases. No, he didn't lose a bunch of court cases. The court cases were never heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was. They were never heard. And it was mostly because of bullshit standing stuff. Oh, we got all this proof, but we're dismissing it because of standing. We're dismissing a bunch of affidavits because we don't believe you. And, you know, we don't believe these people, even though they're saying this stuff on the threat of going to jail for perjury, you know. Affidavit, you're supposed to believe, aren't you supposed to believe an affidavit? Aren't you? You know? I mean, this whole thing about believe all women, right?
Yeah.
When they brought up, what's her name? What's the chick that went after the judge? Blasey Ford.
Yeah.
Believe all women, right? You know? All this stuff, all this bullshit stuff that they come up with is just that, it's bullshit. You know? Oh.
Well,
go ahead.
Let me correct you on this one thing. Trump didn't lose any of those cases. And the reason why Trump didn't lose any of those cases is because Trump never filed the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the people who filed the lawsuits wouldn't have standing. Is a very chicken shit way of not applying the law, but you know the people who were filing these lawsuits. We know why they were filing the lawsuits. The problem is that the courts would not look at them as the victim. Had Trump been named on those courts as filing it, yes, then there would be standing because Trump would be the de facto victim.
Yeah.
However, if you look at those cases that they all claim that Trump lost and everything, Trump's name may have been brought up in the filings and stuff, but he was never a party to the lawsuits themselves.
Yep, so far. they've just gone after him. You know, and one of the things that was constantly brought up was that, you know, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you, but I'm in the way.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was actually a good thing to say, because it kind of woke up a few people, not as many as it should have, but it did wake up a few people. Because, you know,
I think woke up even more people is what happened in Atlanta when Fannie Willis did what she did, and then he got a whole bunch of black people to come out and support him, because they saw it's a part of their life, is this whole, you know, illegal prosecution or whatever the hell it's called. And then they saw, well, if they can do it to me, if they can do it to him, a guy who's this famous, they can do it to me, and they have done it to me, you know, or people like me. So the whole Fannie Willis thing woke people up.
I think there were a bunch of things that woke people up, like that couple in Missouri that was defending their own home from rioters, and they got arrested for it. I think that woke up some people too. So I think if they continue doing this kind of thing, more and more people are going to wake up. And it just kind of really actually kind of blows me away that there's still people who are totally asleep. They're totally oblivious to what's going on. and they don't care to find out. They just want to go with the status quo and just continue going like they have been.
Right.
Blissful ignorance is what they call it.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Yeah. I couldn't remember it.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Laurianne, after Block Talk Radio unceremoniously cut us off with Ron Reck. We all got on the old Skyper there and did a call in which I tried to bring you in, and well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah,
but
I was
anyway,
offline. I don't have it on all the time. I was doing pretty good though anyway, so it was getting kind of late and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but it was good. And, you know, I was talking, you know, a lot about, you know, cancer and my experience and trying to give advice about, you know, just about cancer and chemo and getting your body prepared for that and, yeah, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like it's one of those things where it can kind of be a trigger for me. You know, somebody says, oh, I'm going to be going in and I'll probably be getting chemo and da, da, da. Then it's kind of a trigger for me to be like, oh, you know, chemo.
Right.
No.
Yeah, I get that.
Mike, go ahead. you broke off the show. I'm sorry. You interrupted the show. Yes, you did.
How did I do that?
Talking to Lori like that about another show, about a whole other thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You drove us right off the topic that we were talking about.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We can always go back
sometimes
to it.
Sometimes we tend to do that.
You know.
But, you know,
we
got to
have like a roundabout situation, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
another
but you
thing,
know,
show. We'll go around about, and then eventually.
This is Robert's show, you know.
Well, it's hers.
Right.
This isn't
Ron Reck's show. That's a free for all.
Oh, I don't know. This has been a free for all a couple of times.
Well, yeah, but another thing that's going to wake a lot of people up is what they're doing. what they're trying to do with him in Colorado, with Trump in Colorado. This whole thing about this trial, which is probably a rigged trial. We know, Trump team is going to bring in a whole bunch of evidence that's going to prove his point, but it's a rigged trial. The trial, they've already made their mind up what they're going to do, and what they're going to do is they're going to deem him guilty in this particular trial, and they're going to, the judge in the appeals court is going to slow walk his appeal to the point of where these people in Colorado will be able to print up ballots without his name on it. And then they'll end up taking the case eventually in the appeals court. But by then, those ballots will be printed up, and it doesn't matter what happened. And he may win that case in the appeals court, but the ballots have been printed without his name on it. You see there? See what I'm getting at?
Well, you know, I did an update this last week, this week, where I talked about that. And one of the things I mentioned was you can always write somebody's name in. If they succeed and get his name off of there and you want to vote for him, write it in. That still counts.
Right, but here's the deal. Colorado used to be a relatively red state. Now it's deep blue. So, I don't know how many people are going to write his name in up there.
Well, that's what happens when you allow Californians to move in.
Or New Mexicans. Or
look at what happened. Look at what's happening out there in Austin. A bunch of Californians are moving into Austin, where our friend Kat lives, and Austin's going to hell. You know.
Yep. And the Democrats, when their cities go to hell in a handbasket, it's never their fault. Even though everything points to them, it's never their fault.
Yeah. It's the whole thing about, what's the old trope about breaking up a relationship, it's not you, it's me. that whole trope about, when a woman breaks up a man breaks up a relationship, it's not you, it's me. Well, sometimes it is you.
Most of the time it is. When they say that, it's just a cover up. It's definitely you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're trying to be nice about it.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole thing down south. When we want to insult people, we'll say, "Well, bless your heart." You know.
Bless your little pea-picking heart.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, these Democrats just don't understand that it's always them. It's always them.
And the thing that I've been enjoying watching is that even here in New Mexico, with what is going on with our governor and her deciding that, we've gotten a health emergency because of all these people with guns, so we're going to take your rights away from you with that guns. And at least half of the Democrats are against that, and they're going against her. And that to me is amazing, because usually Democrats are in lockstep with each other. Well, they haven't been in this state for the past couple of months because of what she's doing. So that's actually kind of one of those things where I look at and say, there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel here.
Well,
maybe
those are Democrats that don't want to lose their don't want to lose their seats,
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the only time they'll ever go against a Democrat. But some of the ones that actually were going against them are not in this election that's coming up here. So that's where I was looking at it, because, you know, they're not even in this election. So they don't have to worry about losing their seat right now, because they're not even up for their seat.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. People have a lot. People nowadays are beginning to have a longer memory. The thing is that they may not be up this time, but the next time they're up, whoever their opponent is going to remind everybody. You know,
yeah.
And they,
they're starting, you know, to have the problem has always, for a long time, has been the length of the news cycle, right? Or basically the fact that a lot of people have the short attention span. So the attention span is getting a little bit longer every day. So with the longer attention span, well, there you go. We're going to have, oh, you're going to keep trying this and trying this and trying this. The more they try things like this, this governor try, oh, we're gonna have it here, and then we're gonna extend it on December 1st and January 1st and February 1st and March 1st, et cetera. The mm-hmm. more she puts it in the news, the more people don't forget about it, right?
Yep. And they're not forgetting in this state right now. It used to be, you know, it's like you said, it used to be with the news cycle, they would hit us with stuff on Friday nights. Well, that was the end of everything until Monday, really. And there, you know, and you'd have your news cycle going along in the weekend, but it wouldn't really be doing anything. So they would hit you with stuff on Friday nights, but by Monday, everybody had forgotten. And they're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. And if usually a lot of the bad stuff that would come out on a Friday. Oh, Governor X signs an executive order doing Y on Friday night. Well,
yeah.
Whatever that executive order would usually disappear over the weekend, right?
Yeah,
we have the court of law on that next Monday. But it would Saturday and Sunday, it'd disappear, right? Well, that's not happening anymore. She's not able, your governor is not able to do that. He's not able to sign these executive orders on Friday and have it disappear Saturday and Sunday.
Yep. Yeah. And they had this whole thing where the guy that won the second district, who is a complete liberal, he even went against her on this. And this that just kind of blew me away. But he is up for re-election this time. And he's got Yvette Harrell running against him now. And she's way ahead in the polls right at the moment. But, you know, it all depends on what happens on when the election's over, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember, it's not who votes that counts, and who counts the votes.
It's who counts the votes, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, and they have Dominion voting machines here in the state.
Oh, by the way, did you see that report about this lady that I believe it was in one of the Carolinas or one of these places where they were running? It was a local election between two Democrats for like mayor or something.
It was in Connecticut.
Connecticut, that's right. And they caught her basically being a mule.
Yeah, and
you know?
and filling the ballot boxes.
Right, and then when she found out that she got caught, she had somebody else do it.
Yeah, but, that way it would take the onus off of her since she wasn't doing it anymore.
and the judge ruled, the other guy took him to court, and the judge ruled, well, this election is illegal. How much you want to bet that the Trump people know about this and they're going to try and enter this into that court battle into Colorado, and they'll go, well, this has nothing to do with Colorado, it's in Connecticut, but again, it has everything to do with the case that he's talking about.
Yeah,
it proves his point that it can't, that you can do this stuff, and we haven't really corrected it.
Well, it won't be in Colorado, in the Colorado case. It will be in the Atlanta case. But then Trump doesn't need to have that video or anything brought up because he's got his own videos.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, we got all sorts of videos and, you know, shit like that already. You know,
yeah,
and this is where and how those college-educated smart people are going to get their peepees whacked because, you know,
ooh.
had they not brought these cases against Trump. Guess what? You know,
yeah.
Trump wouldn't have a forum to bring this evidence out. You know, it's like, which case was it? Oh, the case in D.C. for the insurrection stuff, you know, when Jack Smith, the prosecutor, filed that, he became my hero. He really
yeah.
did, because Trump can bring all of that evidence into federal court
yeah.
about the elections. You know, and it will be a very fun, nasty case that will end up happening, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I look at it like this also, okay? They're going after different people and different things of that nature. For sake of argument, let's just say Trump does end up winning the election, and maybe even winning it from jail. All right, fine, whatever. He pardons himself. Then what he does is he uses the new rules and goes after, you know, Jack Smith, and he goes after, you know, Judge Chutkan and all these other people that are going after him, you know? You know,
well,
which
he doesn't have to make new rules to do that.
No.
He just follows their rules. That's all he has to do.
Yeah, and that'll piss
mm-hmm.
him off.
That's what I mean. Look, what you do, this woman was appointed, right? By whomever, I believe Obama or somebody, was checking appointing. She's very liberal, very one-sided. There is grounds for impeachment on this woman.
Well,
and if the
that has to be done by Congress.
It has to be done by Congress, and the Senate has to flip. It's not gonna be done under Chuck Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. is she's his woman. Oh, and by the way, this fucking trial that's going on in New York with the Mar-a-Lago case. This woman that helps the judge out, the paralegal, whatever name it, whatever they call her. She's dating Chuck Schumer, from what I understand.
I hadn't heard that one.
He's his girlfriend. Yeah. From what I understand.
That'd be interesting to find out.
No. I'm wondering.
There's not a question there.
Okay. What question's that?
No, he said there's not a question.
Oh, okay. Sounded like you said that.
He did.
Okay.
Now, here's the only thing that I have to say is I don't know, and I can't remember whether or not she dated him or if she just worked for him as a clerk or something.
Well, sometimes it's the same thing.
Well, yeah.
No, it's not that she dated the judge. She's dating Schumer. That's how she got that out of that case is through Schumer.
That's what I just got done saying. We don't know. I don't know whether she dated Schumer or worked for Schumer. Okay?
Okay.
But she is connected to Schumer. How that connection is made, I don't know. I can't remember.
Yep. Let's see now. 7, 8, 2, 20. Let's see. Got a couple of extra people in the chat room.
Extras? We can't have no extras. That means we got to pay more fees.
No, just normal people. You know, Donnie C. and Joe Gibson, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, Donnie C.'s in the chat. Everybody's just listening. Have you guys been paying attention to what's going on with Biden and stuff? We thought Hillary Clinton with her emails was bad. But Biden, under all of these different pseudonyms and email accounts, they found evidence that he had government emails in there, stuff under different pseudonyms and everything. And you, of course, you know, the left-leaning media isn't really talking about that.
No, they haven't said a word
about it.
Even though
it really should be a topic of conversation, you know, it's just like, yeah, I mean, he's done this and, you know, on private emails with different names and stuff. And, I mean, the guy is just proven, you know, it's coming up, I guess. And then they're gathering evidence and they think that they should be able to subpoena or something and start prosecution. Maybe in the next week or two, because of all this stuff, you know, the $200,000 check that was for a loan payment, you know, so Biden's shady dealings are going to be coming to light. And, you know, everything is, you know, Trump this, Trump this, Trump trial this, Trump trial that. And meanwhile, there is all this stuff going on with Biden and what they're finding. The more they look, the more they find, you know, 82,000 pages of pseudonym emails that the National Archives located. And that's pretty shocking. That's a lot. The total of Biden's private email exchanges was disclosed on Monday in a little notice status report filed in a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit brought against the National Archives and Records Administration by the nonprofit public interest law firm Southeastern Legal Foundation. The foundation brought the lawsuit seeking access to the emails after Just the News revealed a year ago that Joe Biden had used three pseudonym email accounts: RobinWare456@gmail, JRBWare@gmail, and RobertLPeters@PCI.gov during the time he served as President Barack Obama's vice president. The status report filed Monday in a federal court in Atlanta was the first to provide an estimate of the size and scope of the possible government business conducted through Joe Biden's private email accounts. So yeah, this is a pretty big scandal, and I can't wait till, you know, we start seeing more and more. As I dive into all of those things and see what those emails really are, and how much of it, you know, what revelations it brings as far as the shady dealings go. This could really blow up and be big.
Well, you know, the one thing that I keep thinking about on this kind of thing is that even with what you just got through describing as to what's going on, the media is pretty much silent on this. Can you imagine if something like this had come out for Jim Jordan or Marjorie Taylor Greene or any of them, Ted Cruz? Can you imagine what the media would do if something like this had come out for them? We'd never hear the end of it.
Well,
oh, exactly. Exactly. It would be all over the place. You wouldn't be able to change the channel without seeing it, you know?
Yep. Just imagine, put Trump and Don Jr. in the position with him and Joe and Hunter. What would be happening?
Everybody in the United States would be thinking it was going on because the media wouldn't stop talking about it.
That's right. But yeah, what difference at this point does it make? I mean, it makes a difference, but I mean, that's going to come back to haunt her when she's in the grave. That whole, what difference at this point does it make?
And I hope it does, too. She needs to be haunted by that for the rest of her eternity.
She's very unlikable, and she's shrill. I can't get over the fact that they thought she was going to be coronated, that she's going to be that well-liked to be, quote, coronated as the president of the United States. This is a woman that is mean, nasty, shrill, and she's just a poor candidate, you know?
Yep. That's for sure.
I mean, this is how bad she is. She got, when she was a young lawyer, she got kicked off of the Watergate case, the case with Watergate. That's
lying.
How bad she was.
Yep.
Let alone going after these quote bimbo eruptions with her quote husband.
Yeah.
I can understand why he would be messing around on her.
Boy, if I had a wife like her, I'd be messing around with everybody.
Yeah.
That's a whole
there's a reason why she can't keep long-term protection from the Secret Service, because once they spend enough time with her, they don't like her.
Yeah, they hate her.
Yep.
And when the Secret Service
I would say it couldn't happen to a nicer person, but she's not very nice.
Well, it couldn't happen to a worser person.
Yeah, really. But here's the deal. We got a Trump. We just elected a Trump guy as our governor here in Louisiana.
Hmm.
The former AG became the governor. And from what I'm understanding, and me and Gunn have talked about this, but whatever Gunn is, but me and Gunn have talked about this. We tried to bring up constitutional carry here in Louisiana, and it got shot down by the liberal governor that was before us. They'll bring it up again. They'll bring it up again, and this new governor is going to sign it, constitutional carry.
Have you heard the latest about what they're coming out with on the new Speaker of the House? I think his name's Johnson.
Yeah, he's from my state. Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying they're starting to ask questions about him. How come he's not rich? How come does he even have a bank account? Now I saw these things and I thought, boy, they're really grasping at straws here.
Well, they fear him.
You mean he's not a multimillionaire, you know, rolling in the dough since he got elected? Something's wrong here. You got to be suspicious of somebody like that.
Yeah, that's what
no.
I'm saying.
God.
No, he's not.
That's hilarious, actually.
No, you know, that's the thing. This guy, well, they're asking these. It probably wouldn't be asking the question if it was my legislator, my congressman, because he was a my congressman, which I don't like the fact that he was, but he was a McCarthy guy. But this is not a McCarthy guy. This is a Trump guy. So you know questions. If you're a Trump guy, you know they're going to go after you.
Oh, they'll go after, yeah.
Get together.
But they went after him for his riches, and that just blew me away. I thought that was hilarious.
Well, it's not that he's rich. It's that he's not corrupt.
He's a Christian terrorist.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't used
he's
that
not, He's not one of these guys that have made all their money from insider trading and all this other shit that goes on in Congress, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
well.
Oh, what's her name's husband? Every damn stock he has made money. Pelosi's husband. He has 100% success rate on the stocks he's chosen. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they had guys on the stock market and people who play in the stock market. They actually had a website that followed his trading so they could follow it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. kind of like the Twilight Zone.
Drop
back a little bit, back to Biden and the monies and stuff, his loan payment.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the paperwork that shows that he gave his brother money on loan? That's all he needs to produce.
Yep. I brought Joe Gibson in.
Hi, Joe. How you doing? I'm looking.
Hey.
I'm just doing some research here. I'm looking at federal rules of criminal procedure, seeing how I guess citizens can go before a federal magistrate and have someone. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to get to bring criminal charges against certain public officials here. So I'm trying to look at all these, just seeing, if in case I wanted to, I'm just saying, trying to weigh my options here. So I'm trying to see how citizens can't initiate an arrest from what I heard. So, but they can't, you can't make a citizen's arrest. But if I was bringing federal civil rights violation charges or violations of my rights to a federal magistrate, the magistrate would have to, and I filled out the complaint, the magistrate would have to serve it. That's what I'm reading right now. So, see, North Carolina's got weird rules, but I don't know what, out in your states, what kind of rules you have. Like, sometimes the prosecutors have to initiate this. Here we have magistrates. But I'm trying to see where a citizen can initiate it. And they make it so damn confusing,
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we all need to do. We need to understand how these people are screwing us. And they're violating our rights. And they're doing it criminally. And we have to pursue this, and we have to go after these people. And if we, the people, do that in numbers, and we have the law on our side, we still have the remedy of the law, but they're stripping it away every single day, more and more, and people are not paying attention.
Yeah, and they need to start paying attention, because it's the laws that are protecting most of us, and once they're gone, there goes all our protections.
I mean, people could screw you over, man.
Pardon me, that's you're wrong, Robert. I hate to tell you this. Those laws are written not to protect us; it's to protect them.
Protect them. Well, then maybe it's a good thing that.
Basically, it's the whole thing I've said before. They're in power. It's not hypocrisy. It's hierarchy. They're in power and you're not, and they make the laws to keep themselves in power. That's what it is.
Yeah. Okay. And that's why
filing papers. That's where it's at, right there. Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. See, they don't have – see, citizens, that's what I'm saying. See, you have to be careful because citizens aren't allowed – like, for instance, like when you make a citizen's arrest, if you detain somebody, you cannot move that person forcefully more than 5 feet or that's kidnapping. So they got – everything's got this trick subsection A, subsection B, paragraph 3, repealed in 1992, subsection A. It's all – and see, this is what I was talking about the other day. Lawyers who are not supposed to be writing these laws and these statutes, the founders stressed that very important – that was one of the big things. Lawyers were not supposed to be doing this. And look what we got. We got all this mumbo-jumbo legalese and legal crap and all these codes and statutes. Nobody can understand them. The common layman out there just doesn't understand them,
But, it's kind of like –
yeah, we're not meant to understand it.
It's kind of like all these laws and bills that the government keeps coming up with, They could come up with a bill describing one thing and come out with a bill that's maybe 15 pages long, and that'd be okay, but they keep going on it until they got like 13, 14, 1500 pages.
Yeah.
And then they don't give anybody time to read it.
They water it down. Yeah. They water it down.
There's a term that it can get to be too much. There's a term that is out there called a Christmas tree bill, right? You try and hang amendments on a bill, and then it can get too much, and the Christmas tree falls over, and the bill doesn't get passed, right?
Yep.
Well, here is the thing, okay? Excuse me. The thing is it is not the law that is passed, okay? The law that is passed, though it supersedes anything and everything, it's the regulations that are written on enforcing that law that gets everybody. Okay? If you notice, if you ever read a bill that's been in Congress, at least on a federal level, okay, they pass a law, and the last paragraph in that law is states that this law authorizes the secretary to write the regulations to enforce this law. Okay. And at that point in time, okay, that point in time, the law that was debated and passed in the legislature, okay, they have things put in, taken out, all of that stuff. Well, once it's signed into law with that paragraph on the bottom of it, means that the secretary and the regulators can put all that stuff back into enforcement.
All right. Well, right here, this is what it says right here. Now, I'm in federal. I'm doing federal right now, okay? This is what I'm looking at. It says, Section 2, it says, who may assert the rights? It says, a victim's rights described in these rules may be asserted by the victim, the victim's lawful representative, comma, the attorney for the government, comma, or any other person as authorized by 18 U.S.C. 3771, Section D and E, okay? And then it says where rights may be asserted. A victim's rights described in these rules must be asserted in the district where a defendant is being prosecuted for the crime. So now I have to go to 18 U.S.C. and see what the procedure is for that, you know? But this, and now, see, I can't get to it. The link won't let me open up the link. You know, this is what I'm talking about. Garbage, you know? It's all nonsense.
Well, I happen to have gone to, when Alaska passed concealed carry, there were a bunch of stuff that were put in the law and taken out of the law, such as little things, you know, don't want to say little things, but you had to score so much on the actual fire test, you know. You had to hit your target at 15 yards with 100%, okay? And then I think that was taken out of the law. And, you know, it was little details like that that tried to get put into the law by the legislature. Well, a lot of that bullshit got stripped out by the legislature. So, and it got passed and everything. And then it came time for writing the regulations. And I think it was the Department of Public Safety or the state troopers were going to be writing up the regulations. Well, before they can do that, you know, they have to have a hearing and, you know, all of this comment and stuff like that. Well, I happened to go to one of the hearings, and one of the legislators was there, and the trooper that was up there, you know, I mean, they were going to insert standards for concealed carry that surpassed the standards that the police need to pass to carry their weapons. And the legislator was in there, and he looked at that trooper, and he says, if you put any of that bullshit back into this in regulation, I will make sure that I pass a law that requires you requirements that you will not be able to pass, because you're going to have to shoot 100% with your handgun at 50 fucking yards. 100%. I mean, ours was 100% at 15. But he was telling that trooper, he says, I'll make it so that you can't pass your fucking tests. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't a threat that he made. He made a promise. There's a difference between a promise and a threat. And he made a promise to that trooper that that's what he was going to do. You know, mm-hmm. And he says, I'll make it so you guys pass your friggin' test. Your standards will be so high, nobody will pass them. So you'll all have to turn your weapons in.
Right.
So that's where we run into most of our bullshit problems on any of the laws that are passed. Is not in the law per se itself, but it's in the regulations that are written up afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. And then you've got these idiots. I can't remember which one that said it. After Pelosi said you got to pass the bill to find out what's in the bill, then there was a guy that came, one of the congressmen that came in, I believe it was a black fellow, but he said, well, yeah, you have to be a lawyer to understand these bills. Well, he's a goddamn lawyer. All right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you got people saying those two things, and that, you know, when Pelosi said that about you got to pass the bill to find out what's in the bill, that was after people saying, well, we want to have a 72 or 48 or 72 hour window where we can read the bill, right? We want the bill to be printed up, and we want to read the bill. Now, granted, this was at the time. I believe this was Obamacare.
Yeah, it was Obamacare.
And it's like everything in the bill, and it was like 2,000 plus pages, and I don't know if 72 hours would have been enough time, but that's the time period they were asking for. And then this black congressman said what he said about, oh, you need a lawyer to understand these bills, and it's like he's a goddamn lawyer. There's a reason why the founders did not want lawyers serving in Congress.
Yep.
And there's a reason why. Yep. And there's a reason why they didn't.
Yeah, you ask any person on the street nowadays, and they won't even know that.
And there's a reason why they didn't want people with titles, you know, like Esquire. You know, or something to that effect, or, I mean, the judges, you call a judge Your Honor, right? That's a title. Your Honor is a title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what it is. This thing about having, who was it? What's her name? Was it Feinstein? I said, I worked hard for the title of U.S. Senator.
No, I think that was Pelosi, wasn't it? She didn't want. Well, I think Pelosi said that too, because they were talking about giving them a cut in pay to help save the government some money. And she said, I worked too hard to get where I'm at to be the most powerful woman in the world. I'm not taking a cut in pay.
Well, no. What it was, I believe it was either Boxer or Feinstein. And they were talking to this Senate, to this general, right? And he called her ma'am, right? Like, any good military, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, right?
Yep.
And he said, no, call me senator, because I've worked too hard for this title to be called ma'am. And the problem with that is these military folks are drilled to call people yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, right? That's how they show respect, right? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Well, when she said that to that general, and after he called her ma'am, that was an insult to that general.
If I'd have been the general, I'd have said, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, sure. But this is another Democrat that's basically full of themselves. Oh, they're elite, they're full of themselves, they're all this shit that the Democrats are general. I'm not saying that the Republicans aren't the same way, but they're less. They are, but not, they're less, right? They're not as bad as the Democrats. The Democrats are just off the charts with this shit. You know? I mean, Pelosi, I'm going to have a $10,000... $15,000 freezer with designer ice cream in it. You know, that's Pelosi. You know?
Yeah. Newsmax had an article on that the other day where they were actually laughing about it.
And by the way, where's the video footage, the attack on her husband?
A while back. Yeah, that disappeared. They got rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, we, and the fact of the matter is that, remember before he got fired from Fox, Tucker Carlson, they released the J6 footage. And Tucker Carlson was going to go do 5,500, five-part series with the J6 thing. Well, they cut that son of a bitch off at one, which ended up getting the shaman out of jail. But there was more there, and they cut it. Fox cut it off, and frankly, why hasn't the Congress released that footage again, the entire uncut J6 footage? This new guy is in control of that. He can do it, you know?
Yep.
Release it again. this time release it to everybody. Release it to, well, it's going to go nowhere with CNN.
They were, yep. those, Mike, those videos are all out there. They're out there right now. Okay? But you can go find them. You can watch every 5,000 hours of it. It doesn't, you can do that right now. It's just that the media is not going to deal with those 5,000 hours worth of videos.
Yeah,
okay? It's not important. Not to them, it ain't.
Yeah, because it destroys their narrative.
Something needs to.
Yeah, it destroys the narrative that, oh, that fucking kangaroo committee of the J6 committee, but by the way, two of which of these guys have off, you know, traitors to the Republicans, and Cheney, who's a warmonger, and Kinzinger, who's a traitor, you know, you know, and we know why those two were on the committee, because they basically agreed with all the Democrats on that committee. They were personally picked by Pelosi to be on that committee.
Yep. They don't stop to think that, you know, the people are starting to wise up on this, and they had their way for so many years where they had a media that followed them lock, stock, and barrel and gave them everything that they wanted to have, and now they've got all this other stuff out there that's actually telling what they're doing, and they still haven't caught on to this yet because they're still doubling down on what they're doing.
Everything that they call conspiracy theory, you know, the stealing of the election and all this stuff, including this whole thing about replacement theory,
mm-hmm.
You know, replacing voters with other voters and stuff like that, that they've called conspiracy theory, it's not a theory anymore. It's fact. You know, I mean, this whole, there's a fucking article. I mean, there's a fucking article in the New York Times from way back when, and it's like, we will replace them.
Yep.
That's what that article is about. We will replace them, replacing, because they know that they're losing, you know, enough. It's not a significant amount, but it's enough in terms of the black vote, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's been said that if the Democrats lose, go from 95% to 85% or 80% of the black vote, done. They're done. Just 20% would you know, sink them with the black vote, and
yep.
With what they're doing with the what they're doing with Trump, you know, and the black people seeing what they're doing with Trump, hey, it could happen that if Trump is allowed to run, he gets 20% of the black vote and probably 15% of the Hispanic vote, you know, or maybe even more of the Hispanic part. I don't know. Fuck it, you know. I mean, this could be Reagan 84 landslide type thing. Yeah.
You know, and essentially that's what it needs to be, because if it's that kind of a win for, you know, for Republicans, that there's nothing the Democrats can do to overcome that one. And that's where the problem comes in, because if it's not that kind of a win, there's a good chance that we'll have another election stolen from us.
Yep. I mean, look, they can still steal it because it's like gunslingers said, they never got their hand slapped.
Yeah.
They need to get their hand slapped. Now, if that hand slap
there?
Comes in the form of...
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
If that hand slap comes in the form of a big time, you know, election where it's, you know, Trump gets 80% of the vote or 70% of the vote and they only get 25.
Look,
you
man,
know,
we got to stop with the Trump.
Vote.
You know, all this Trump, like he's a hero, you know, he's going to be
I'm
the
not,
hero that's going to rescue us, you know?
I'm not,
it's
I'm not saying... Yeah, I'm not saying it's got to be somebody else. It's got to be somebody that gets that.
We the
you
people,
know.
Us, we got to stop it.
Yep. Has to be stopped.
You know, we have to start doing what we're supposed to do. We the people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't be relying on these on Washington D.C. man. We can't be relying on these people. I don't, you know what I mean? We cannot. They're gonna screw us over. They have been all our lives. When are we gonna learn?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they still think that this there's a competition for the nomination for the Republican nomination. There is no competition.
This is all smoke and mirrors, man. It's all smoke and mirrors. Yep. Trump's going to get on the ballot. He's going to be running against Biden. You know, he'll be running. You know, it's all they're trying to distract us because everything's going on because they're trying to get us into World War III.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, have you guys heard of Bootgate? With DeSantis.
Oh, God. Bootgate? What's that?
Yes. The guy wears platform cowboy boots. Got like a 6-inch heel on the boot because he's not a big guy. That's what it is. He's basically what they call heightening because he's not – because – Trump's a big guy. Trump is 6'3", 6'4", whatever he is. And basically, DeSantis is not a big guy. You know, most presidents are big guys, you know, or tall guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even Biden, at his late age, he's still a bigger guy, you know. He's, you know, 6 foot tall, you know. So, this is a guy
that's not tall. So, you know, when you get around 6'4", 6'5", then that's tall. You know, but 6 feet, that's probably for average. I mean, I'm 6'1", you know.
Right, but again, 6'1", is, I'm 5'8". I consider 6'1", tall, you know. So... I consider 6'1" tall. When you're 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", yeah, you're going to consider 6'1" tall. You're going to consider, you know, anything over 6 feet tall.
Yeah,
matters how big your biceps and your arms are.
Right.
24 inches.
But you look at Trump, you look at Donald. That entire family is a tall family. Even the women, you know, they're all tall. I mean, fucking Barron Trump is like 6'9".
Well, that's it. But those all the look. Just say even Trump gets in there, right? Say he does get elected, 4 more years. After that, 4 more years, he can't run again. Now who's going to be coming into the picture? I just don't see us as – I mean, I know this is going to sound, you know, stupid, but I don't see the world going past another 4 or 5 years. I mean, we're in trouble. I mean, I just don't see it, you know?
Yeah, that I've thought about that one myself.
Yeah, I mean, the end has got to be close. I mean, you know, it's just got to be. And what more can we do? What more can be accomplished? What more can be destroyed? I mean, we're just we're evil. I mean, there's hate, too much hate and division.
Yep.
Well, yeah, and they want, you know, these people, the evil people want Israel to take a pause, right?
Well, how long does it take for them to do this Gaza? How long does it take? It's only 12 miles wide. They got 400,000 troops there. They've been bombing them now for 3 weeks. What's left? You know?
Not much.
You know?
But what's left is there's a bunch of tunnels underneath there that they need to go and clear out. Now.
Yeah.
Well, if they take a pause, then that allows these idiots, these savages, to rearm, you know?
Rearm? How can they get any arms there? I mean, they're surrounded. Israel's surrounded. I mean, the ocean, that's it. There's no way in. There's no way out. They're surrounded.
They're tunnels.
Yep, they got tunnels.
How far do the tunnels go?
Well, with 300 miles of them, 25 miles ain't very far.
Yeah, well, then when they say 300 miles, I think they're talking, you know, this way, that way, this way, that way. I mean, surely they can't go all the way under Israel, right? They would find them. I mean, hey, hey, honey, you hear that underneath the house? What's that? Oh, that's just Hamas, you know? I mean, where did you tunnel that, you know?
If they go north and south now, they can go up through Lebanon. They can go up to Lebanon, and Hezbollah can send weapons down through those tunnels and all that shit. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They can.
I don't know.
Well, you know, there was an article out in WorldNet Daily the other day that talked about what Khamenei, I guess, leader of Iran said, and he said the situation between America and Iran is this: when you chant death to America, it is not just a slogan, it is a policy. And that's the leader of Iran.
Well, they declared war on the U.S. Hezbollah declared war on the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you've got these people that want to push all those people that want to push Israel into the sea.
Yep.
You know, that's a policy of not just the Hamas, it's Hezbollah, it's Iran, and well, basically Hezbollah and Hamas are basically offshoots of the Iran people. So they want to put them into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
That's their policy.
That's their policy.
They consider them the little Satan and us the big Satan. That's their policy.
Yep. And there he actually came out in his speech and actually blamed America for Israel existing. And he said, if it were not for the support of U.S. weapons, and the corrupt and artificial Zionist regime would have been destroyed in the first week. It would have collapsed. The Americans are behind this.
Oh, Lord.
Well, you know, hang on. He is right. If it wasn't for America, Israel wouldn't exist. America, along with, I can't remember who else.
Britain.
But they, we all decided that Israel was the place to be, you know?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. What you call it? Palestine never existed, and it still doesn't exist. It exists only on paper, thanks to the Romans.
Well, only as of 2 hours ago, 2 hours ago, it says that their state-sponsored terrorism is crossing our border, sponsored by the United States, the United Nations, and countries that traditionally sponsor terror. So I guess they're going to be starting some stuff over here, according to this jihad set to ignite in America. And that's what this is 2 hours ago.
Well, there was an article.
Yeah, I've been seeing that too. That the terrorist threats have been like spiking like crazy. We're ripe for it. You know, how many sleeper cells do we have that, you know, have been crossing the border the last couple of years and being lost, you know, hundreds of thousands of people lost. we are looking at a major, major event happening. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Well, I think.
Yeah, what if it, yeah.
The
yeah.
wind is already.
What if they attack a neighborhood?
There was an article in Western Journal today that said illegals caught with explosives tailored for terrorism down at the border. They have GOP raising new alarms on Biden's risky border policies.
Especially with fucking people like Rashida Tlaib doing what she's doing.
Oh.
You know?
Well,
yes.
if you ask me, first target after a terrorist attack should be Joe Biden and his administration. That should be our first target.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to solve the terrorists. And then after that, then it's open season on terrorists. But our first target need to be Joe Biden and who's ever controlling his little strings, you know,
mm-hmm.
which would be Biden and company, or Obama and company.
And Rashida Tlaib and all those guys.
Well, this is what it says right here.
She's a small fish.
Yeah, it says right here, Israel bombs cancer center. So it says World War III begins. So does the Great Awakening. So that's what everybody's saying. So I guess they bombed the cancer hospital, the last one that they had over there, and Putin told, I guess, warned against it. So I guess I don't know. It's pretty serious, but here's the deal with that.
What cancer hospital?
That's what they're saying. I don't know. Does Josh Sergensen reports on the U.S. troops being deployed to Israel? Currently, has 900 more deployed, but that was last week, folks. So just want to get that straight right now. More are deployed throughout the Middle East as World War III begins. Geopolitically and financial cycle expert Charles Nenner explains that in the current war cycle, which resets every 120 years, is likely to see around 2 billion people die. As Russia, China, Ukraine, Taiwan, and the United States, Britain, Europe, Canada, Israel, Palestine, and the entire Middle East fight it out. Now, with the technological capabilities, it will make World War I and World War II look like a walk in the park. This is, of course, all planned to bring in the Great Reset and the Greater Israel Project, which Benjamin Netanyahu claims is the fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah. Israel wants to build a new temple and will do anything in order to achieve such a thing. This is go time, and we must resist today or face the consequences of mass deaths and conscription. So that's from 2 hours ago.
By the way, guys, that is another thing they keep saying is a quote conspiracy theory, is the Great Reset.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It isn't.
The only thing I have to say about it is I wish they'd quit talking about it and get on with it. You know? I'm tired of listening to all their free panic bullshit. Just get on with it. Let's start the war. And
tomorrow.
Let's get it on and get it over with.
Tomorrow. They said by Sunday. That's what everybody's saying. They predicted this last week, so they're saying tomorrow that it's all set to start kicking off. So we already have all. We have many troops over there already. We don't have 900, more like 90,000. So you know, we got 3 aircraft carriers over there. You know, so that's we haven't had that since the Gulf War over there. So it's going. It's getting ready.
Yep.
Well, let's just get it on.
I don't want to see U.S. attack, though. You know, are we prepared to get for mainland attacks here? Are we prepared for that? I mean, you know.
Fuck no.
That's exactly what a false flag is going to do. You know, nothing will guarantee us going full 100% if there's a false flag. You know they're planning it. You know our enemies are within our borders. You know they're planning it. Our FBI probably is fully aware of it. Our CIA is fully aware of it all the way on up, and they're going to let it happen. Because that way, our involvement will be guaranteed. There's no way that we won't declare war on, you know, everybody involved. It'll be like September 11th all over again.
Yep.
And it'll be pre-planned. It will be known. It will be allowed to happen. And then we're going to usher in another couple decades of nothing but war and more war and more war after that.
Well, we got to get the attack for it really to kick off. So, yeah, I would look for something happening on our borders within the next few days or next week sometime.
Yeah, and I'm down here, so I'll be one to report it if it happens.
Yeah.
Well, the attack is going to probably, with the number of people streaming across the lack of a border, it's probably going to come from within.
Yeah.
There's 100 banks set to close this week. 100 banks are going to close this week. Huh.
Well,
they caught me. I didn't even catch that one.
I'm surprised. With the interest rate so high from the Fed, how could they possibly be losing money?
Yeah.
Right.
Because nobody's borrowing money. That's how you lose money.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anybody that's smart knows now is not the time to get a loan for a damn thing, you know. The interest rates are too high. You're ripping yourself off. And the Fed came out. I think it was just a couple of days ago. The Fed came out and basically said, get used to it. We're not going to be lowering rates anytime soon.
What are the interest rates?
I heard you guys say something a few moments ago that I had wanted to say.
Does anybody hear me?
I hear you, Joe. I heard you guys say
hey, Lorianne. Guys.
Hello. I heard you guys a few moments ago I wanted to respond to while I was waiting on the phone to get my line unmuted. And you guys mentioned that when the State of Israel was formed, there were 5 countries that had veto power in the UN Security Council at the time. Not one of them exercised veto power against the State of Israel being mandated. They were the United States, Great Britain, France, Soviet Union, and the Republic of China. This is before the Chinese took over in 1948. So not one of the countries vetoed it. And about 89 or 90-something countries voted along to allow for the State of Israel. And when you guys are talking about, you know, when is this thing going to be over in Gaza and how long is it going to take them to do what they got to do, I just like to point out to you some things that can happen when you've got a determined enemy who stockpiled supplies and is determined to hold out. The first day of the Somme in 1916 when the British went over the top,
They fired a million shells at the German line. A million shells from heavy-ass artillery, 11-inch guns, and bigger. I mean, big shells, enormous shells. And the Germans had bunkers that were 60, 70 feet underground, and even though they were shook up and concussed, they suffered very light casualties despite a million shells being fired into the lines. And when the British went over the top, they had 50,000 casualties the first day, of which almost 20,000 were dead. The Germans on the channel ports after Normandy, Royan, Ile-de-Léron, Pointe de Grave, La Rochelle, Dunkirk, the Channel Islands, and Saint-Nazaire didn't surrender until May of 1945. Germany surrendered on May 7, 1945. Four of those places surrendered after that date. They held out that long. They had supplies, and they were determined to hold out. Let's not even talk about Iwo Jima and Peleliu, which were completely isolated from any resupply, and look how long it took to subdue those islands. Hell, they were even fighting on after all the Japanese resistance had been fought on from some of the survivors. They just kept sniping at the troops that were left. So look, it depends on how determined the resistance is there. If Hamas is made of the same stern stuff that those Germans and Japanese were, they can make this thing nasty for a long time if they've got enough supplies stockpiled and they've got the fortitude and the endurance to hold out. Believe me, it's not going to be easy if they do. The only question is, are they or do they? And if they do, they can make blood. If they're just a bunch of punks, yeah, it shouldn't be over too. It shouldn't take too long to get it over with. It'll all depend. It ain't no sure thing either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure.
Right, and like I said earlier, Sarge, with these tunnels, if the tunnels are going north and south, you know, we know that the tunnels are going east and west, but if they're going north and south and they're going close to the border of Lebanon, well, there we go. That's how you're going to resupply. You know, go from through Lebanon into those tunnels and resupply them there. So, yeah, they can hold out.
Yeah, but even without resupply, they've got a good supply of stock, a good stockpile supplied up. They can last for a little while and make it awfully nasty. See, their objective is not necessarily to win. They know they can't win against Israel firepower. They want to make it bloody as they can for the Israelis, and they want the Israelis to kill as many Palestinians as they can so they can have the Israelis condemned. That's what they want. Their objective is not to win. They want to make – I just saw this guy today, the Hamas foreign minister, say, "We want martyrs." That means their own people. They are going to make them shields and have them die. They say, "We have thousands of martyrs." They mean involuntary martyrs. They're going to make their people suffer in order to get their cause across. They don't care about them.
Yep.
So, and another thing, too. You guys are talking about the election. And, look, I was just telling Joe earlier. Miracle of miracles in both Maine and Connecticut. In both states, judges have questioned the outcome of elections using the exact same techniques that Dinesh D'Souza used in 2000 Mules with geofencing coupled with surveillance videos that had the people that were geofenced, their cell phones were geofenced, stuffing ballots into the ballot boxes. And the judge ordered a new election in Maine. And in Connecticut, some election. Now, admittedly, these were rats. I mean, demon rats. They were making a complaint about a fraudulent election. But nonetheless, the point of it is this was an adversarial proceeding in a court of law. Under an adversarial proceeding with evidence submitted, a judge decided there was enough evidence to cause doubts about the outcome of an election and ordered a new election. And remember, the same techniques that all these leftists said and the Democrats said were discredited and it couldn't be used to prove election fraud, that they did in 2000 Mules, they said, yeah, they do work in this particular case, in these particular cases.
Yep.
Yeah, that's because the Democrats got whooped. They didn't get their way.
And they know it. They know that Joe Biden get 81 million votes. They know damn well that clown didn't get 81 million votes. I don't give a damn what they say. Ain't nobody in this lifetime ever going to make me believe that.
Yeah. Right. And ain't nobody going to make me believe that he got more black votes than the first black president.
Man, there's nothing about that guy. I mean, he's such an inspirational figure. And Trump was so horrible, he managed to hit 11 more, an incumbent president, who nobody doubts got 11 million more votes than he did the first time around, and he still loses to somebody who didn't even campaign and couldn't draw 10 people at a campaign rally. And we're supposed to swallow that unblinkingly? These people got to be mad if they think we are.
Yep.
Yeah,
I've seen nothing like this, man.
And I don't know if you heard me earlier, Sars, when I was mentioning the so-called trial that's happening in Colorado, where what I think is going to happen, and I said this earlier, I'll say it again, and get your feeling on it. What they're trying to do with this trial is, yeah, Trump and Trump's team is going to be allowed to, put evidence in, but this trial is a settled thing. They're going to find him guilty. Okay? That's number one. Number two, when he goes to appeal, they're going to slow walk the appeal to the point where they're going to allow these people to print up ballots without his name on that ballot, and then they'll take the appeal, and he'll likely win an appeal, even in that stacked court against him. He'll win that appeal, but it won't matter because they've already printed his ballot. So that's how this is going to go down in Colorado.
Yeah, well, the thing that is, though, is they'll ask for an expedited hearing to get it done in time for the election. And I have no doubt that the judge will order to print new ballots, whatever they have to do in order to get new ballots, or else to move back the state election date to accommodate the court order.
Yeah.
Now, there's a federal election date for president, and the states can't change that no matter what. Either they get their votes in on time, or the electoral votes won't be counted. So, you know, they'd be under a deadline either way.
Right.
But still, man, yeah, we know what's going on with Trump, man. His 14th Amendment is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. It doesn't even apply to the president. You can see by the wording of the goddamn amendment. They don't even mention the word president or vice president. They start with senator. Then they go to the member of the House of Representatives or an elector. Now, you would think if they intended for it to apply to the president, that would have been the first name on the list, or the first title on the list. President, vice president, senator, and member of the House of Representatives. No, president and VP ain't even on there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean that the president is any other officer under the United States? What? Let me see. He's just like any other office. He's like a bureaucrat in the cabinet? Oh, please. See, they're grasping at straws because they're going to do everything they can to try to stop this man. They're going to throw every bureaucratic and legal obstacle in his way just to make sure they steal another election by hook or by crook or by both. That's all this is. Anybody thinks there's a shred of legitimacy to this believes in Santa Claus.
Well, I'm calling it to restore our republic and no more sleeping movement. That's it. We always talk about we got to wake people up. That's it. No more sleeping. It's time to wake. That's it.
But I got to admit, though, that news
got
to hear Connecticut.
That, the Minnesota State Court, the Minnesota Supreme Court is currently hearing arguments about Trump's eligibility to run in 2024. So that's going on, by the way. Minnesota's top judges expressed skepticism on Thursday about the role of state courts in resolving a burgeoning debate over whether Donald Trump is eligible to run for president in 2024. Should we do it, even if we could do it and can do it? Chief Justice Natalie Hudson of the Minnesota Supreme Court asked during an 80-minute oral argument on whether Trump should be removed from the state's ballot. Some constitutional scholars, citing Trump's actions in connection with the January 6th attack on the Capitol, argue that Trump is disqualified under a provision of the 14th Amendment to hold public office if they engaged in insurrection or rebellion. Proponents of that theory have filed a series of lawsuits in various states seeking to block Trump from appearing on the ballots next year. And then it goes on. So, yeah, this is happening in Minnesota, too, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens as a result of this case that's going on.
Well, I'll tell you one. Look, man, this is just too funny. It's like they get this fever all at the same time. They get these same delusions. It goes around like a virus with these goddamn Democrats, man. I never seen nothing like these people. Yeah, there's a question about whether or not, and they're going to ignore the fact, and I got to keep, you all need to remind people to start this shit at every opportunity you get. Whenever you hear some idiot say, yeah, they got him on insurrection, remind people, he was acquitted of incitement to insurrection at the second Senate impeachment trial. He was acquitted in a formal judicial proceeding. Civil, yes, but it was still a formal proceeding, and the Senate of the United States acquitted him.
Yep.
Jeez, I mean, I guess at some point somebody at least mentioned that.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, they're politicians. You can't expect them to mention that.
Not that, but these little lawyers, these pointy-headed lawyers that are pulling off this crap.
Right, and
I read the Constitution. I was just going through my cliff notes of the Constitution, and if you engage in insurrection rebellion, you can't hold any office under the United States of America. And by the way, the office that is the highest in the land is not even mentioned in the section. It's not even mentioned. The others are explicitly mentioned and named. Senator, member of the House of Representatives. But glaringly, there's no president or vice president. I mean, somebody might be asked why. So that means that the president is just like any other office under the United States of America. Just another office. Like, I don't know, head of the, Secretary of Indian Affairs, the Secretary of the Interior. Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. But you know, this is what passes for legal reasoning from these goddamn idiots with judicial degrees.
And here's the deal, Sarge. All this stuff that they're going through, all this trying to get him off the ballot, they're looking at these polls, and in particular these internal polls, and they're seeing that there's a real possibility that it's a landslide. If it's Trump, it's a landslide election, and that's what they're fearing. That if they don't do anything, it's going to be a landslide election, and Trump's going to get in with a mandate to go after them and get stuff done. Right? That's what they're fearing here, and that's why they're trying all this shit. And it's not just Colorado and Minnesota. I'm hearing stuff out of Michigan as well with this shit, with the same shit we're talking about, you know? So it's not going to be just those two states. It's going to be Michigan, probably Wisconsin, probably, you know, Arizona. All these states that had questions in them, you know, that, you know, basically appeared in 2000 Mules, you know, and place, things like that, are going to try and get his ass off the ballot. That's what's going to happen here. They're going to try. Now, will a lot of them be successful? Maybe not, but maybe it only takes one to be successful, right?
Yeah. Well, these rats are desperate. They ain't no doubt about it. They are desperate, desperate, desperate. They see Trump as literally an existential threat to not only their continued existence and power, but maybe even their freedom if they get locked up because of some of the criminal stuff. I'm sure he's going to appoint a bulldog of an attorney general this time. He's going to go after all this shit that this, that Merrick Garland ignores or tries to cover up. So they're going to pull out all the stops. And some of these rat blue states, they have no fear of being prosecuted for any of it. They're brazen about it. They're not worried about it. They think they have enough electoral votes that all they got to do is do this in 5 or 6 states like they did last time, and they think that'll be enough for them to overcome the margin of victory. I am sure they believe. They don't need all 50 states. They don't even need a majority of the votes. They just need a majority of the electoral votes. And they're going to see if they can get it. And they can get it in these corrupt blue states. I'm sure of it. That worries me more than anything else about this election. The cheating.
Yep.
The lack of election integrity. Nothing else particularly troubles me about this election.
Yeah, and that bothers me too, being in a liberal state.
Man, that's
And if... And so that brings me back to playing by the rules that are set. They've set these rules. The Democrats and the swampy Republicans have set these rules, right? The rules that say, okay, we're going to go after our political enemies, right? We're going to do this. We're going to take them to court. We're going to try and put them in jail. We're going to mugshot them. We're going to do all this shit, right? Go after your political enemies. Well, generally speaking, when rules are set, the Republicans are so weak that they don't want to follow the rules. Well, that's not going to be Trump. Trump's going to follow the rules that are going to, that have been set. If you're putting people in jail, I'll give you an example. That whole, that I said it before, that whole issue about when at one of his rallies they talked about locking Hillary Clinton up, right? Which he probably should have done anyway, but people say, well, you don't want to do that because it's a slippery slope. Well, here's the deal. Where have we gone now? We've already slipped down that slippery slope, right, Sarge?
Right. Yeah, you're damn right we have. Unfortunately, Donald Trump saddled himself, and I'll admit these are two of his worst personnel decisions. He saddled himself with Jeff Sessions and later on William Barr. Now, William Barr had the competence to do what needed to be done because he knew the Constitution, he knew his job, and he'd shown prior to that that he had competence at being Attorney General. But he didn't have the will to do it. He's part of the swamp. He may be a lesser swamp creature, but a swamp creature nonetheless. And he didn't have the will to go after the people that needed to be gotten after. And he just abrogated his duty. These guys said before the election that universal mail-in balloting was rife with the possibility of fraud. I saw him say it in the TV interview. Then after the TV and after the election, oh, it had no effect on the outcome of the election. He's a weasel, and it was a bad decision to put that guy in office, despite the fact that he was probably knew the law very well and was certainly up on the Constitution, what it required. But he didn't have the guts or the will to do it. This time, he's got to make a much better choice. You've got to make a choice of somebody who's determined and able to do the job. And I hope he picks well.
Hey, Sarge.
Right.
What would you think of Sarge?
Go ahead. Yeah,
Robert, put this question into Sarge.
Yeah, Sarge, what would you think of Trey Gowdy?
He's smart. I think he would be competent. I don't think he's got the will to go after the swamp creatures. I think he'd want to be live and let live because I've seen him too many times make excuses for others who haven't done what he's done. I don't trust him, not at all. He's got the ability, but I don't think he has the will.
Okay. That was my question.
Yeah.
Well, my thing was this all started, this whole scenario started, well, basically when he came down the escalator, but it really got kicked off when Trump didn't clear out the Justice Department the first time. He should have cleared out, including fucking Rod Rosenstein, because what happened? When he fired Rod Rosenstein, when he fired Comey, what happened? They brought in Rod Rosenstein, who's tied with Mueller, brought in Mueller as the special counsel, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. If he had fired Rosenstein and cleared out that entire Justice Department from jump, then a lot of this stuff wouldn't have happened. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many, you know, so many what might have been and what should have been done. But I think Donald Trump learns from his errors. I don't think he'll repeat the same mistakes again twice. At least I'm hoping he doesn't.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Definitely needs to stay the hell away from Mike Pence.
Right. What needs to happen is they need to, the House needs to cut the fucking funding for the Justice Department, cut the funding for Jack Smith, and if and when we flip the Senate, they need to impeach this fucking Chutkin bitch. All right?
Yeah.
You know, these people need to have consequences put
well, they,
on
they,
them.
They put her up there because they think she'd probably be untouchable. That's the reason they put her up there. You know, she could always use her race as a shield, and that's what many of her defenders would do. It's a cynical ploy in order to prevent them from being touched, but that's just the reality of things today. It just is. That's why she was put in this spot. She's put in that spot, not out of some rough, she just randomly got selected. They just threw her number in like lottery balls, and they threw in the big hamster cage and rolled it around, and lo and behold, out comes an opponent of Donald Trump who publicly expressed her opposition to him and her adverse thoughts about it and her contributions to other Democratic candidates. It was just a goinky-dink. I swear to God,
yep.
These people, you know, at some point you would think, we would say to ourselves, okay, look, they tell us it's water falling in our face, but it's got a salty taste to it and it's turning yellow on my white sleeve. It must be something else.
Oh.
It must be.
Yep.
God. I mean, this is almost getting too much to put up with anymore. They are so brazen about it. There's not even any sophistication to what they're doing anymore.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. It, I remember back, now this is showing my age here, but I remember back when after the election was over, the two parties would get together and actually work to try and pass things that would really work for America. Now it's just... if the Republicans win, the Democrats got to fight it. If the Democrats win, then the Democrats tell the Republicans, you can't do anything because we're in charge now.
Well, if we can get more action-oriented Republicans, you know, more, well, let's call them Trumplicans or whatever, that can get in there and... I mean, there was a great number of people that Trump endorsed that because they didn't get the money from the NRCC or the NRSC that they couldn't get elected, right? Because they didn't want the Trumplicans. They didn't want the people that were amenable to Trump in office, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't want the firebrands. They didn't want the people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Madison Cawthorn and you know, look at what they're doing with fucking George Santos. I don't care whether all politicians lie, okay? They call him a liar, okay? Fine, all politicians lie. All of them. Doesn't matter. You know? Doesn't matter that he lied to me. I don't want George Santos gone because that's one less Republican vote, one less vote that we have to stop the Democrats in doing anything.
Yep.
That we have a razor-thin majority in the House right now, and we get rid of him, it's even thinner.
Well, you know, the thing that really bothers me is that, you know, the Democrats keep pushing all of this stuff to spend more and more money, but where are the purse strings in the government?
Well, by the way, you guys did see this money apparently that got laundered through several of the Biden shell companies that came directly from China. And by the way, it's $400,000 to Hunter, and it's $40,000 to Joe, which is, in case you're mathematically challenged, that is 10% for the big guy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Corroboration, man. I'm telling you, they're getting more evidence and they're corroborating. And by the way, for those who say it doesn't matter who gets elected because it's all the same, we wouldn't know any of this if the Republicans didn't have that razor-thin majority in the House of Representatives. We wouldn't know any of this. None of it.
Yep.
It certainly would have been revealed in a way it's been revealed.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
40%, 10% for the big guy. Precisely. This is what was in Hunter Biden's laptop. But there's no evidence. But nobody's got it directly being paid by China. You're just making that up. It is nothing there to show that. We know better. You guys just don't want Joe Biden. You're trying to ignore the crimes of Donald Trump.
Yeah, well. Jeez. If they told me that, I'd say, you're darn right, I don't want Joe Biden.
You're damn right. Or it's crazy cackling, hint of a vice president either.
Boy, I'll tell you. That woman.
I want either one of them.
Oh, knee pads.
Knee pads, Kamala.
Yep.
Yeah, her and Hillary.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I wish I could. I can't do that.
Either her or Hillary can, though.
Mm-hmm. But again, you look at these Democrats when they go into these black churches and what their cadence changes.
Yep.
They try to speak like the black preachers and this, that, and the other, and all that stuff. It comes off as false, but they try, you know. It's like every time they do that shit, it's a lie, you know.
They, you know, they just make it up as they go along.
Yeah.
Whatever. They just make it up as they go along.
And they're getting better at it all the time.
Right. And that's just the thing. But again, things like calling people racist, that word used to mean something. That word used to mean something, calling somebody a racist, right? Not anymore.
Yep.
It's just a word now. Racist, bigot, sexist, homophobe, all that shit, you know?
Yeah. That's for sure.
And I still go by motherfucker.
Oh, boy. We got an angry Santa.
What make you say that?
When the fuck did I become Santa? Merry fucking Christmas. Oh, really? I sound like Boyd? Are you fucking kidding me? That would be a fucking honor.
Go after
him,
Rod.
Fuck him up, Boyd. Fuck him up.
I wouldn't let him talk to you like that.
Calling you
me.
Yeah.
I would definitely just go after him, like stink on shit, man.
I'd just rather be kicked in the nuts, man. Just really kick me right straight in the fucking balls with a pair of steel-toed boots. Fuck it. And if you really want to be good to me, get into DeSantis boots. Or what does Trump call them? Sanctimonious?
Fucking sanctimonious.
The sanctimonious.
Bootgate. Mike, we have done came to conclusion. The board has done came out of the room, and we have came to decision about you. All right? You are fucking straight up master fucking tard. You have bypassed me. All right? So long as you know, you are the winner. What do we got for him, Johnny? But you're now the emperor, though. You got me beat. You beat me like Biden in a fucking Trump election, man. You beat me. Fuck.
I didn't have.
And these were true ballots. No, you didn't have feet. Fuck, no. Real deal. That's right. You are a champion. Anyway, good evening, folks. How's everybody doing? Hope everybody's doing fine.
Hi, Ron.
Fuck.
Hey there, Ron.
Where the fuck have you been? I've seen you sitting here, and you just sat there and kept your goddamn mouth shut. I can't believe it. You kept your mouth shut this whole time.
Yeah, because, everybody bitching about fucking Trump and Biden. Fuck. You know, if people don't get it by now, what's the sense of talking? You know, Biden is the best president we've ever had. Trump ain't worth a fuck, and that's that. Just, you know. Deal with it. I mean, Joe Biden.
Yes,
he's
totally physically and mentally capable of being president for another 4 years. We should have absolutely no doubt about that whatsoever. 100% faith.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, who would be a better selection to control and be the president of the land of Tar? Can't pick a better guy. The land of Tar, you know, it's that's it. I mean, if it makes sense, why the fuck would you do that? You know, you're the complete opposite of the right thing. You know, on is off now. Remember that. On is off. The lights are on, but
the sky is red.
You know, there you go.
Yeah, and even when he walks off and everybody wonders where the heck he's going. He's got a plan.
Well, you know that time when he fell down in the airplane, when he's going upstairs, the airplane fell down twice. You know what he said? You know what the motherfucker said when it happened? He said, you know what, that goddamn bartender should have fucking cut me off 5 drinks ago. But nobody's listening.
How about when he tripped in,
I got a good one for you. You guys want to hear something that is typical of modern day legal reasoning? This is your modern day typical jurist on the Seventh Circuit.
Modern day.
Sorry.
I need help with that. Can you define that in 3 sentences?
What's that?
One word.
What's that?
The real deal. I mean, kind of what you said there. In the real world. I mean, reality.
Oh, no. I was going to talk about some modern-day legal reasoning.
Oh, modern-day. Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
And
wait a minute now. From a federal appeals court, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeal. Now, get this. They, last week, they overturned an injunction against the enforcement of Illinois' ban on assault weapons and large capacity magazines. It was a three-judge panel decision. And do you know what the gist of their reasoning was? They said that the AR-15 is not protected by the Second Amendment. Now, get this. The one they sell to you without, you know, having to go through the National Firearms Act of 1934, just one any federally licensed firearms dealer can sell to you. They said the reason the Second Amendment does not protect the AR-15 is because, wait for it now, it's too close to a machine gun. I swear to God. I swear to God that was a ruling. This is what we got to put up with now.
Well, hey, wait a minute. But I'm missing the concept. Where in the Second Amendment does it have any mention of machine guns?
Well, it doesn't.
Isn't it mentioned anywhere?
It also says shall not be infringed, but apparently that doesn't mean a damn thing either. It also says the right of the people to get beaten by us is necessary to the security of a free state, but I guess that doesn't matter either.
Nope.
And I guess part of being a well-regulated militia means you shouldn't have military weapons, because we all know a militia isn't a body of citizens organized for military purposes, so there's no reason such an organization should need military-type weapons, right?
Right.
Add pixels.
Well,
Add pixels.
Think it depends on your conflict. If it's shit you're talking about, it's going to be coming down here next week or two. What do you expect? You take a fucking knife to a gunfight? Is that what we're supposed to do?
I like to be honest when I talk about guns, and, you know, because, I mean, I don't see any need to lie about it. Look, the AR-15 in civilian hands is, for all practical purposes, the same weapon as they carry in the military, because most of the time you fire the damn thing in semi-automatic anyway. It's not intended to be a squad automatic weapon. It doesn't have the barrel for it. They can't change the barrel quick. And, you know, it's not intended to be a full-time. So if you notice, most of these people you see in these pictures, they're firing semi-automatic, even the soldiers, because they don't want to go through all their ammo in a hurry. So for all practical purposes, yes, it is the same weapon. That's exactly why it's protected by the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Exactly. That was my question. You know, where does it show in the Second Amendment? It matters what kind of gun it is. It don't matter. It don't fucking matter.
Oh,
Jesus.
If it hits a bullet, is there any different way that a gun can fire a bullet except by hitting the fucking primer? In reality, it doesn't matter what kind of gun it is. All it has to hit the fucking back, does it? It has to have a firing pin of some type. You know, it doesn't matter what type of session or whatever the fuck it's going to roll in, but fuck, man.
Yeah.
It's a firearm. You know?
There was no history of federal regulation of firearms in the United States of America in any of the states until the Federal Firearms Act of 1934.
Absolutely.
Prior to that, you could own anything you could afford.
Yep.
All you had to do was be able to afford to buy it, you could buy it. There was no history of it until 1934. And the only reason the guy prevailed in that case was because the defense didn't show up with a lawyer. They defaulted to the government's opinion. That literally is why the Federal Firearms Act of 1934 stood up. There was no opposition. The guy, Miller, who got charged with possession of a sawed-off shotgun, did not come into the court showing any evidence that a sawed-off shotgun bared any preservation to the conduct of a war-regulated militia, because nobody was there to argue that case. Only the government was there to argue its case, so they defaulted to the government's position, even though in their decision they noted that the Second Amendment is about military arms.
Mm-hmm.
Military arms that 100% of the people of the United States had possession of at the time that it was written.
Exactly.
Every freaking gun that was in this country was a military grade weapon.
Especially, you know, and in fact, the many of the colonial militia had firearms that were technologically superior to the typical brown breast musket similar types that most militia were equipped with. Many of the militia had rifled muskets, which were technologically superior to the typical infantry arm of the day.
Right. Now, what this ruling should prompt Gassard is this guy, whomever this guy is, should take that Federal Firearms Act of 1934 to court.
Yeah.
That's what this opinion should do.
Well, look, this is going to the Supreme Court because it's a conflict with the decision made on the Ninth Circuit Court that struck down another judge who struck down California's ban on assault weapons. And when you got rulings in conflict in different circuits, it's almost an automatic going to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has already said weapons that are in common use cannot be banned. And the AR-15 is the most common semi-automatic rifle in use in the United States today, by far. Almost one of the most common arms in existence in the United States, by far.
Well, I actually want to trade in my wife's Hyundai Veloster for a M1 Abrams.
Actually, you can own one provided you have the main gun either deactivated or registered as a destructive device under the National Firearms Act of 1934, to say nothing of the coaxial machine gun and the cupola-mounted machine gun. They either have to be deactivated or they have to be registered under the automotive part of the tank. It's perfectly legal to own. You know, the hull and the turret without any weapons in it. There's nothing about that that's considered a weapon. It's a vehicle. It's a motor vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So you can own a tank. Lots of people, well, not lots, but there are thousands of people in the United States who own tanks right now.
Yep. Well, in this state, I wouldn't want to get rid of the guns because I might need them.
Yeah, well,
Robert. Yeah. There is no might. There is no might. You will need it. You're going to need it.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. Yeah.
At this point, it's only a matter of time. You know, we don't want to have to use it, but it's only a matter of time before we're faced with either we use our guns or we die ourselves, you know, and that's going to be the choice.
You better believe they have let hundreds, if not thousands, of terrorists across the border and just waiting for their orders to strike. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of them here in the United States right now.
Yeah.
Well, I think this year alone, I think there was a statistic that I just saw, this year alone, almost 800 people that crossed the border are on the terror watch list across the border.
That's about right.
Almost 800. That we know of.
Yeah, that's right. We know of. Those ones we know of. I'll bet you the ratio is more like 3-1 that they don't know about. So you can figure maybe 2,400 on the terrorist watch list.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough to cause?
Exactly.
And we had one guy go on a rampage, and they had to chase him all over California and almost shut down the state for the amount of time they had to chase him around. Remember Christopher Dorner in California? That's one guy.
I was hoping
to get that. Imagine what 100 terrorists can do with a decent, well thought out, coordinated plan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And that whole case, I still remember that. It just showed how inept the police were. I mean, they were so incompetent. It wasn't even funny. They shot up that pickup truck, totally different make, totally different model, totally different color, had two women in the car, you know, delivering freaking newspapers, and they shot the living shit out of it. not to mention all of the neighboring houses and stuff. And it's like, you know, that right there is the example I use for anybody on the left that says only law enforcement or military should be allowed to own firearms. It's like, example right here. No, you're completely wrong with that argument.
Can we also point out...
they didn't even kill the two women. After hundreds of rounds, they didn't even kill the two women.
Well, wait a minute. Can we also point out to these people that among the most effective of the first responders when those Palestinian terrorists came in those kibbutzim were security teams organized by the civilians in the kibbutz. They got up there and they literally killed dozens of terrorists. They hastily organized themselves into fighting groups. They passed out their weapons. They took up their positions. They effectively engaged the terrorists, and they killed dozens of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Sarge, think about this. You get rid of that. You get rid of that Federal Firearms Act of 1934, and Robert's tank will be able to have his gun and his machine gun and everything else, you know, on that tank. You get rid of that Federal Firearms Act of 1934, and that's what I'm saying. We need somebody to step up and take that son of a bitch to court and prove that it's unconstitutional.
Well, I tell you, this Seventh Circuit case involves a germ of an appeal for it because it specifically says it's not protected because it's a machine gun, and machine guns are regulated heavily under the National Firearms Act of 1934. And by the way, the state of Illinois, by the way, has a ban on private ownership of machine guns. Not all states do, but the state of Illinois is one of those that won't allow civilians to possess fully automatic weapons, even if they pass the background check under the Federal Firearms Act of 1934. They have to store them out of the state.
Yep.
And we all know why that Federal Firearms Act of 1934 basically came about. And it was because of what was happening at the time
in the
Chicago.
Bandit gangs. The bandit gangs. Dillinger, Bonnie and Clyde, Pretty Boy Floyd. Because those guys were regularly shooting it out with the cops. And they were defeating the cops on a regular basis in the shootouts they had with the cops. I mean, they were shooting out and defeating them regularly. I mean, Bonnie and Clyde said his favorite weapon wasn't the Thompson submachine gun because he thought the pistol cartridge it fired lacked penetrating ability. He liked the Browning automatic rifle that he stole from National Guard Armory. That was his favorite weapon. And when he got in the shootouts with the police, he was using a BAR.
Yep. Oh, that was Bonnie's favorite gun. It was the BAR, wasn't it?
She liked it too. That little teeny tiny woman was hip shooting a BAR like a Marine on Iwo Jima. That damn thing weighed almost as much as she did.
Well, yep. But my point was there was a gang war going on in Chicago at the time. Throughout the 20s and early 30s, right?
The Moran Capone gang. The Moran Capone gang led to the St. Valentine's Day massacre, and that single incident was the biggest single impetus for the Federal Firearms Act of 1934. The massacre in the garage on Clark Street on Valentine's Day, 1927.
Yep. And basically, you know, the cops we know the history of that damn thing. There weren't no cops in the area at the time because they were fake cops that did the whole thing and all that shit. But, yeah, that thing needs to go. That Federal Firearms Act needs to go away and go away relatively quickly. And we need to have more people, more judges enforcing Bruin.
Yeah. Well, Bruin is clear. Weapons in common use are protected by the Second Amendment. There is no more semi-automatic rifle in common use today than the AR-15. None. Not any other type. Not any hunting rifle or any other type. There's at least 30 million of them in circulation, and that's probably a low bid. Hell, I own 7 of them myself in various
like
chambers.
That one.
I got 7. And I ain't giving it. And if they want to buy them back, if they want to buy back my guns, I will sell them. But my lowest price is $1 million apiece. I won't go a penny less.
Yeah.
$1 million, I'll sell every one of them. And the ammo to go with them, too.
Yep.
Well, you got to charge something for the ammo.
Gun buyback. Hey, that's what's ridiculous. When did they ever own them in the first place? Yeah, buying back. How? You never owned it. I did. It went right from the manufacturer to a federal firearms dealer and to me. When the hell the federal government ever own it? How they gonna buy it back? Or the state government?
Or even the states using taxpayer money to money to buy them back. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No questions asked.
And you know what most people do? They take their firearms that aren't working and can't be repaired. You know, the manufacturer doesn't make them anymore, so you can't send them back to the manufacturer to get fixed. So they're pretty much inoperable. Those are the ones to do the buyback program with, and then you get your money, and then you go use it to buy a, newer, better firearm.
Well, wait a minute. I got another question, though. Since they say no questions asked, what if that gun was used in a crime, particularly a homicide? And they take it and destroy it. There goes the evidence.
You know they're taking your information. The second you
hand
it over
to
them, your fingerprints are on it. They're going to run ballistics on it. They're going to compare it with crimes. Oh, yeah. That's a way to get,
But remember, what publicly they say
mechanism.
That if they take the gun, there will be no questions asked. That's part of the public pronouncement for the – now, look. Any defense attorney is going to be able to take that into court and say, this is a promise from the government upon which my client relied. They're not going to bring charges against them with that sort of thing. I guarantee you, any judge is going to dismiss the case.
Yep.
Well, what's the two lawyers' names in St. Louis? Didn't they do that? Didn't they say to try to get their guns back? Didn't they say that? They never got their guns back.
Well, wait a minute. You mean McCluskey's?
McCluskey, yeah.
McCluskey.
Look, here's the thing about that. The St. Louis authorities took the inoperable pistol that their wife was holding, and it was inoperable because it had been used as a stage prop. And they repaired it and made it operable in order to make the charges stick. So she had an inoperable weapon, and the authorities, in order to charge her, made it operable. These people, these authorities sometimes, in their zeal, they just lose their goddamn minds.
I mean,
people love fucking other people. They love it. That's what they're trying to fuck them.
I don't know if they have this law in St. Louis, but they may have been able to get her on brandishing, but they didn't try that, I don't think.
And they charged both of them with that. That didn't stick.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, that didn't stick.
I mean, that shows you what the threat of a gun will do. They didn't even have to fire the gun to dissuade these idiots from attacking them.
Hers wouldn't fire. It was a prop. She effectively had a prop. He had a weapon that was operable, but hers was not.
Yeah. Hers was not. But he didn't have to fire his gun to scare the shit out of these guys.
Not at all.
And they still took the guns away from them and shouldn't have.
And that was the situation for a high-capacity magazine or not high capacity, a standard capacity magazine, because a standard capacity magazine for an AR today is a 30-round magazine.
Standard round for an M4 or a Mini 14 is the third round magazine.
They're all pretty much the same. 30 is the standard for most semi-automatic military pattern rifles today.
Okay, guys, we're down.
Yeah,
well,
if you listen to Joy Reid on The View, you know, an AR-15, man, one of them bullets will just shred you. You know, you don't have to even be
shred a dealer. All 55 grains of that 22 caliber bullet will just disintegrate a deer.
Exactly.
I never heard of such stupid things in my life, man. You would think that at least make, I don't know. I think they just say things
because
they watch too, they watch too many stupid movies and they just say things.
Sorry, but you know, John Wick's, you know, handheld semi-auto pistol does more damage in the movies than an AR-15 does.
Well, I tell you,
kind of funny. You know, when you think about it.
Yeah, but you got to remember, John, that handheld pistol is not firing 22 rounds; it's firing 9mm.
Yeah.
115 grain bullet or so, maybe 125, depending upon the particular loading, at say 1,200, 1,300, maybe 1,400 feet per second. The foot pounds of energy in that thing is somewhere in the neighborhood of 350, 375 foot pounds. An AR-15 in standard loading, 55 grain bullet at 3,250 feet per second at the muzzle, is making about 1,330 or so foot pounds of energy at the muzzle. There's really no comparison when it comes to power.
Yep. We're down to the last.
I beat deer with air. I killed deer with air. I don't need no goddamn gunpowder. I kill them with air. 72 caliber. Air. Fucking
I'm
air. Nope. Huh?
Yeah, I know.
Hey, by the way, our recording portion of the bonus hour is about to end, you guys, so we're going to go into no man's land here pretty soon. But just wanted to remind everybody to tune in on to my show on Sunday night. Valerie's going to be back. We already have, like, at least a dozen topics of conversation for possibilities.
Oh, Jesus.
So we'll see what we get to. We got some stuff up our sleeve, folks.
Lorianne, the problem with having 12 or so topics or whatever it is, exactly how many topics are we going to get around to?
No, we'll cover the whole gamut, man. We won't miss a thing.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, that's what happens every show. It's like, you know, we have all these ones in mind, and then we'll bring up, we'll bring them up, and then the show just takes a life of its own, and we end up, like last week, you know, we ended up talking about the Department of Education and homeschooling and stuff. You know, that's the beauty of it. But so it's like we'll just kind of throw these topics out there and then we'll see what lands and see what ends up occupying the show for 2 hours.
I'm doing a week long special next week.
So everybody knows I'm doing a week long special. Mental masturbation. Should it be legalized?
We'll be on Lori's show with her 12 topics, and we'll do 48 topics, none of which are any of those 12.
What about 1 5 cents?
Of course. But, you know, I have a feeling that the masturbation topic will be the one that occupies our time.
Absolutely.
Well,
and whenever anybody says that they need
thing.
To step away for about
well,
5 minutes, then we'll know
we
what they're doing.
When we take a look at the product line and understanding of why how it got its name, was a simple fact of what it did for people from Johnson & Johnson. You know, so what other name could we go with except Jerkins? We had to go with Jerkins because everybody's jerking with Jerkins. Johnson, a family company.
What do you guys think of this Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson? The more I listen to this guy, the more I like him. I got to admit, he's pretty smart. He's level. He speaks very well. And he seems pretty goddamn focused.
Well, you know, the thing that I like about him right now, Sarge, is the fact that he is pissing off the Democrats.
Yeah. I can't complain about too much so far.
I miss Nancy. I do. I miss her.
Sarge, no, I tell you what, Sarge, I wish he was my representative. He is not my representative.
What's he doing? What's he doing? That's
my
that
question
really
about Mike Johnson, our new speaker. Does he support red flag laws? That's my question. If he supports red flag laws, then no deal.
Yep.
I don't think
he does. I don't think he does.
I'm not sure, though.
No. What I'm saying is I live down here in southeast Louisiana. He's from the Shreveport area. All right? He's from North Louisiana. So my representative is Gary Graves, who is a fucking McCarthy guy. All right? So you see where I'm coming from when I say I wish he was my representative.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know nothing about the guy, so, I mean.
I
haven't looked into him either. You know, and
that's my problem.
Well,
I don't know if I should support him or not.
Here's the thing that you cannot trust Mike Johnson about, okay? One, he does not have the personal wealth as anybody else does in Congress because he's living off his congressional salary and his congressional salary only. Two, he is a Christian and he is a radical terrorist Christian per the mainstream media because he practices his Christian religion.
Oh, yeah,
so
that automatically labels him as a domestic terrorist under the new definitions under Biden.
That's why Mike Johnson is not liked. Okay?
Yep. That's for sure.
Was he a Catholic?
I don't know. He's a Christian.
I think I heard it said that he's an evangelical Christian, so I don't think he's a Catholic.
Thank God.
So,
yeah.
Well, I can remember when they were campaigning specifically against JFK when he was running. And it was because he was
because
a Catholic.
Yep. I remember that.
Well. The Pope on a rope.
On a rope, yeah. Yeah,
not to totally switch subject, but there's this channel on YouTube that I started following called The Archive. And it's this Arabic guy that totally like takes on Islam and takes like Islam followers, you know, on a show and completely like destroys their arguments. He points out like what's in the Quran and you know what Muhammad believed in and stuff, you know, and like he's literally gotten these lifelong Muslims to go I'm going to go to Christianity instead, you know, and it's like I just came across it, you know, just watching videos on stuff, and like I'm addicted to this guy now, you know.
Is that Muhammad
like, Dr. Anybody that tries to argue with something, he like throws in verses in the Quran and verses, you know, And he's like, no, this is, you know, you're worshiping Muhammad. You're worshiping this guy. And this is what he said. This is what's in your Quran, you know, and you don't know it, but this is what you're supporting. And he completely destroys argument by argument by argument. And I'm just like, okay, I have a new addiction now. Yeah, it's called The Archive on YouTube, if you ever want to check it out. Like, I got to love this guy. I can't help it. It's just like, okay.
I read the Quran.
What are you talking about?
It really does. It doesn't make sense. I mean, it's just a book of philosophical views of hate. That's basically what it is. You could beat your wife with a stick. I mean, there's stupid stuff in there, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know.
Joseph, that's called rule of thumb. You can't beat your wife with a stick no bigger than your thumb. Rule of thumb. I know it's crazy, but it's real. That's where it came from.
I know. But whatever, you know. It's just asinine. You really think an angel has 144,000 wings?
Well, I lost count of the first bottle of liquor. In the all of our angels.
Yay.
I'm looking to buy a new air rifle, but I can't seem to make up my mind. I've got a Zeus 72 caliber, which is one hell of a gun for hunting hogs with, and not being a firearm. You get crazy.
What kind of hot buffalo?
You can hunt anything with this gun. But it's an air rifle.
Yeah, you can kill a buffalo with that thing.
Yeah. You ever seen one?
Yeah. I like those burners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been playing the air rifle for years.
Oh, okay. So, guys, Mike Johnson is a Southern Baptist.
Okay.
Oh. Southern Baptist Convention?
Yeah, he's a Southern Baptist. That's what he is.
Yeah, no good.
But you see, you got to understand that Louisiana, there's a demarcation in Louisiana, right? North Louisiana up to about, let's see, up to a certain point is from the northern border to about the middle of the state is Southern Baptist, Assemblies of God, all that type of shit. You get the further south you get, it's getting more and more and more Catholic because it's French and Spanish and that type of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a demarcation in terms of religion in this state, you know.
Now, organized religion is very dangerous.
Yeah.
It is very dangerous, but that's just how it is here.
Absolutely, it is.
Yep. But,
you know, that's why, you know, I've talked about this before. It's like you can have faith and you can be spiritual and everything, but organized religion has been the destroyer of things. You know, organized religion is so corrupted. The Vatican is so corrupted. You know, there is a vault in the Vatican that very, very, very few are actually able to access that have scrolls and writings and historical documents and stuff that have been preserved that they do not want, you know, any of us, you know, commoners to ever know even exist. The Vatican has supported pedophilia. They have been involved in child trafficking galore.
Oh yeah.
Within the Vatican is Satan worship, everything. You name it. Like, you know, it's
A good book to read? The Woman That Rides the Beast by David Hunt. It talks all about the Catholic Church.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, it was Catholics were behind the sterilization of women of their enemies involuntarily. You know, that it's just like anything else. It's like it's been so corrupted with absolute evil that it, you know, I don't know how anybody can follow it. I don't know how anybody can actually support the Pope, you know, when these popes have been like, oh, yeah, you sodomized and fucked little boys, you know. Oh, that's okay. We'll just, you know, move you over to a different church so you can do it all over again in a different neighborhood. I mean, you know, it's absolutely appalling. It's absolutely against what Christianity is about. And then you wonder why, you know, there are so many haters of Christianity. And it's like, well, can you really blame them? You know, if what they know about Christianity is presented to them by the actions of the Vatican and all the wrongs that they've done and the evils that they've supported, then, you know, if that's their example, you know, then why wouldn't they? You know, but every religion has been like that, you know.